six. Mark chapter 6, begin reading in verse 7 through verse 13, and then read verse 30 through 34. And I'd like to say, the Lord cares. He cares about us, and that's a wonderful thing to know, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in the rest of the world, He cares. So if you'd stand with me, please, we'll read, beginning to read in verse 7, Mark chapter 6. You stand together, please. Verses 7 through 13, and then verse 30 through 34. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, and what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Now in verse 30 through 34. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Let's pray. And Brother Ronnie, would you pray, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, I do pray for Brother Lily and Miss Bonnie, speak to them tonight. Lord, thank you for always taking care of us. We ask in Jesus' name to pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we read in verses 7 through 13, we see that the Lord had sent out the disciples two by two to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. Well, they finished their mission. They returned and they began to tell the Lord about everything that had happened. They had worked for a long time. They had worked hard, and they were thrilled to be able to tell what had happened. Well, when they started telling the Lord what had happened, the Lord said this in verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. You know, we all need a time of rest. You know, we can serve God, we can work for the Lord, but there's a time that we need to rest, there's a time that we need to be alone with God, there's a time when we need to recharge our batteries and prepare for future service. And so that's what the Lord was telling the disciples. Come apart, rest, charge your batteries, because there's more work to be done. So in verse 31, the Lord had told him, said, go apart, come apart, and rest. Vance Havner said this. He said, if you don't come apart and rest, you will come apart. So we need to have that time of rest, but you know, we don't need to make that our life verse. You know, I'm just going to rest all the rest of my life. But it's an important thing. And you see this, that the crowds were following the Lord. Day and night, they were following him. They were following going around the disciples. And the Lord said, go rest. In verses 32 and 33, it says, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto them. You know, it seems like, you see it today, the famous never have rest. You know, I get a lot of rest because I'm not famous. But you know, you see these people that are famous. People all the time, I don't know why, but they're all the time following them. They're all the time wanting to touch them, all the time wanting to hear them say something or whatever. And so these people never get any rest. And a lot of them, I think, they enjoy it, never having the rest, being followed and being the object of someone's craziness. But the disciples were there, and the Lord, they went out in a boat with the Lord, and the people saw him, and they began to say, "We've got to see more, we've got to see more." And they ran to where he was. And then verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people." And this next part is so important. Here, he had no rest. Here, the people had been thronging day and night. He was trying to get apart, and he saw the people, and it says, "And he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." You know, the Lord had compassion. The Lord loved people. You know, you don't, Jan doesn't sleep. And pray that she can sleep. But a lot of times she'll be up at 3 o'clock in the morning reading her Bible. And the thing is, she told me yesterday, she said, "I'm going to become a theologian." Because it's like every day. Well, she's all the time come up with this. And this morning she says, "You know, the Lord never told anybody he loved them." Said, "Look through the Bible. The Lord never told anybody, I love you." But yet he said it with his actions. His actions spoke so loudly. Here he was tired, but he had compassion upon them. When they were hungry, he fed them. And the greatest love of all is when he died on the cross for our sins. But the Bible says he saw them as sheep. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 18 and verse 11, it says, "The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." And so when he saw the people as people with needs. And you know, God knows our needs. Everyone here tonight has a need. You know, I don't know your needs. You don't know my needs. We know some of the needs. But, you know, everyone has a need that God knows about. And he cares. He cares for us. And that's such a wonderful thing. He knows our needs and he cares about them. But look at verses 33 through 44. We see that when people were hungry, he gave them what they needed. This is the feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children. And first of all, we see how the disciples reacted. We see that the Lord had compassion upon them. But how is it that the disciples reacted? In verse 35, it says, "And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." In other words, they're saying, "Hey, it's late. It's the whistle blew. We're not supposed to be at work anymore. It's time to go home. It's time to get some rest." Then in verse 36, it says, "Send them away." "That they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Now, how many were there? 5,000 men plus women and children. Where were they? They were not in downtown Jerusalem. Where were they? They were out in the country. Now, I know how it was in Bolivia. In Bolivia, you're out in the country. You're in a town. You can get bread, usually. But you go out in the country, out in a village and stuff. Hey, when bread comes out, they have a lot of times a chair sitting out in front of a place with a white cloth on top of the chair. People are there getting that bread. And when it's gone, it's gone. So you can imagine how it was in this little place. And the disciples said, "Just send them away. Let them go get their own bread." There wasn't going to be any bread. The bread was probably all eaten up. The bread was probably already sold. And so they didn't really care. And they were just saying, "Hey, we ain't got no food. Send them away. Send them away." He said, "They've been here a long time and we're tired of seeing them." That was their attitude. "We're tired of seeing them. Just tell them, get out of here. Send them to the villages. Let them go somewhere, but get rid of them. We don't have time for them." I remember one time we came back from Bolivia. I went to see the doctor. I'll not mention the doctor's name, but if you want to ask me later, I'll tell you who it was. But I went to the doctor, And I mean, I had quite a few problems, you know, because we didn't get very good medical attention in Bolivia. And so I started saying, I have this, and this, and this, and this. You know, as I heard here, I heard here, I heard here, you know. And he looked at me and he said, I don't have time for all that. Get another appointment. Was that compassion? No. That wasn't. But you know, that's the way the disciples were saying. They're saying, hey, we don't have time for this. Let them go away. Let them go away hungry. I'll tell you what, I went away from the doctor's office hurting. But the thing is, Jesus saw that they were hurting. And he was interested in their needs, their physical needs. He was interested in their emotional needs. He was interested in their spiritual needs. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can always satisfy our needs. You know, there's not anything that we can't take to him that he can't remedy. I can't remember who mentioned it the other day, but I heard it on the radio also when Adrian Rogers was preaching, said God answers prayer in four ways. Yes, no, later, and are you kidding me? You know, but hey, he cares. He cares for us. And he can satisfy. So in verse 37, it says, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. How do you think the disciples felt when he said, give ye them to eat? Here they were saying, Lord, there's 5,000 men, there's women, there's children, it's 12 of us, we don't have any money, we don't have anything. How in the world are we going to give them something to eat? But it goes on in that verse, it says, give ye them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So what they were saying, Lord, it would take a year's salary to give those all these people something to eat. And so they were more interested in just sending them away. But you know, the Lord also tells his church to give the world something to eat. You know, we have the bread of life. We have the message that the world needs. And I thank God for everyone who's out, who witnesses, who gives a testimony for the Lord. You know, I just thank the Lord for you. And it's so important. You know, I'll tell you what. I can think of 1,000, and probably everyone here could think of 1,000 reasons why you don't want to go out and witness. Why you don't want to go out and pass out tracts. Why you don't want to go out and do something. But you know, the Lord wants us to do it. And that trumps all 1,000 of the excuses that we have. But here the Lord had told him, said, get them something to eat. And we have right here the only thing that will satisfy their hungry soul. We have the Word of God. And that will satisfy the hungry. As Lester Roloff used to sing, coming down and satisfy the hungry every time. But Lord said, give ye them to eat. So what did the disciples do? It said in verse 37, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? You know what the disciples did? They took out their cell phones and went over to the calculator. They started calculating, 5,000, that's 5,000. And there's probably so many thousand children, so many thousand women. Said, Lord, there's no way that we could do that. It'd be a year's salary. But they forgot about one thing, and their presence was the Creator. And their presence was the one who created the wheat, who created the barley. And they forgot also about his power. And they were thinking, we've got to do this. This is our job. When actually the Lord was the one who was going to do it. For that reason, not thinking about the Creator, they were with the Creator of the world, not thinking of his power, they panicked and they said, no way. No way. Can we do that? They say that there's between 35 and 37 miracles just in the Gospels. And here we see one of them. In verse 38 through 44, we see the Lord's miracle. In verse 38, it says, and he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. I can imagine they brought that lad there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is this among so many? I think it was J. Vernon McGee that said, when he was in seminary, he had a liberal professor that said, when the Lord fed the 5,000, he was standing in front of a cave. And the disciples were in the cave, inside the cave, and they were passing food up through his sleeves. And that's how he was able to give food to 5,000. That was a big cave. I mean, how can people be so ignorant to think something like that? When it's so simple to say, hey, God said it, God did it, and I believe it. They didn't realize, I mean, that guy that said that didn't realize who God is. So they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so he said, tell them to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And then verse 41, it said, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. You know, it doesn't matter what we have, if we have much or if we have little, if we put it in God's hands, God can multiply it. And that's what happened there. It's just a little bit. And man, I could eat 2 loaves of bread and 5 fish myself. But here he fed all those multitudes of people because there was a lad there who was willing to give what he had and place it in the Lord's hands. The Lord blessed it and multiplied it. And you know, we give our life to the Lord. You know, it's wonderful to see what he can do. It's great to see what God can do through us. And you know the thing about it? He wants to use us. That's just a wonderful. I mean, I look at myself and say, How in the world? Why would the Lord want to use me? But the Lord wants to use all of us for his honor and for his glory. So he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. The disciples started passing it out, and the basket never emptied. They go to a group of 50, hand out that fish and bread. They'd look, that basket be full. Go to another group. They just kept handing it out and handing it out. You know, they saw the power of the Lord to meet the needs of others. Here, these people were hungry. He met their physical need, but he also meets the hunger of the spiritual and emotional needs of man. But then the world is full of needy people. And those people need the Lord. You think about how many people have never one time heard the gospel. How many people have heard and rejected? They need to hear again. It's a great need out there. But then we see also that not only does the Lord meet the needs, but when people are weak, he's present. In verses 45 through 52, Jesus told his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side. You know, you think about it, what was the profession of many of those disciples? They were fishermen. So the Lord said, get into the ship, go to the other side. I imagine they were thinking, no problem. We can do that. That's nothing big. So they got in the ship. They began to go out and to the other side, and they were rowing, and all of a sudden, a storm came up. But the thing is, they were obeying. They were being obedient to what God had for them. He said, get into the ship, go to the other side. They were obedient. They got in the ship. They started rowing. But what happened? Something difficult came up. You know, many times there's difficulties in obedience. Look at verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. Here they were, obedient. They left when the Lord commanded them to. In verse 47, it says that they were toiling. Or they were out in there, verse 48, it says, they were toiling. And what that means is that they were with great fatigue. They were tortured, more or less. And they're rowing. Or they were with much pain. You know, it's not always easy to obey God. It's not. Sometimes it can be very difficult, but you know one thing about it. We know He cares. We know that He's present and He's with us. You know, it can be hard sometimes to be faithful. You know, I appreciate faithfulness of people being in God's house. And I know sometimes it's hard. People have needs and things are rough, but yet they're faithful. But you know, Jesus sees us when we're hurting. In verse 48, it says, when you're talking about the disciples, it says, and He saw them. And He saw them. You think about it, why did Jesus wait so long to come? You see, these men were used to the sea. They had fished for years and years. They were comfortable on the sea. It wasn't anything great for them. They had weathered many storms, and they were probably thinking there for a while, we can handle it. Some of you know my son. Lance, when he was, used to drive us crazy. He would have a term paper due, and I'm serious. The night before it was due, would say, Lance, has got everything done? He said, don't worry, I'm going to handle it. 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd get up and write out his term paper. He had a gift for writing. He'd write his term paper, turn it in, and get an A. I worked 6 months and got an F. So he didn't get that from me. But you know, he said, I can handle it. That was always his attitude. I can handle it, Dad. I can handle it. One time in Bolivia, the wind was blowing so hard, it blew the electrical cable that was hooked to our house. It's crazy the way they do things there. But it came in and was connected to an insulator and then put on a metal hook like this. Well, the wind was blowing so hard, it blew it off the hook. And our lights went out. And we had steps that went upstairs, and it was kind of like a deck up there. And all of a sudden, Lance says, don't worry, Dad, I can handle it. And I went running up the steps behind him and said, son, no. And about that time, as soon as I said no, I saw this big old white like that. And the next thing I knew, he came flying and slid right between my legs. I think it's shorter than that. About killing him, I said, well, he learned that you can't handle it all the time. But, you know, that's the way the disciples were. They were saying, we can handle it. But, you know, God has sometimes let us see that we can't handle it before He comes walking on the water, before He comes to our aids. Yeah, so that we see that when we're weak, when we're toiling and rowing as the disciples, when we're weak, Jesus will come walking on the water. So many times we trust in Him. But in verse 48, you think about this. In verse 48, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. You know, Jesus was walking in the same storm without any problem. You know, there's not a problem too big for our Lord. There's not a storm too great for our Lord. There's nothing that He can't handle. You know, it's so wonderful to know how much He cares for us and how powerful He is and how much He loves us. You know, that'll keep you going during the week, thinking on those things. But for Him, it was no problem. But then we see in verses 48 through 52, the blessing of obedience. In verse 49, it says, but when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. In other words, they thought it was a ghost. They were afraid. They were not looking for Jesus to come. But yet He came at a time when He was unexpected. Here He came walking on the water. You know, try whatever we can. We're going to fail without Him. And so He came walking on the water. In verse 50 it says, for they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's such a wonderful passage. Be not afraid, it is I. He said, be of good cheer. They realized then, hey, we can't row this boat. We need him in it. And so there's a song we used to sing and with the children in Spanish. Con Cristo en la barca todo marcha feliz. With Jesus in the boat, everything works out wonderful. We go along happy. You know, it's when we're not trusting God, when we're trying to do things on our own, is when we're the most miserable. But when he's in the boat with us, man, things work out wonderful. And things are, as it says, we go along happily. When the storm comes in our life, we know that Jesus cares. I heard someone say one time, said it's better to have a storm in your life and feel the presence of the Lord than to have everything peaceful and never know him. So when we're weak, he's present. Andre Crouch wrote a song, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, but I'll quote the third verse. The third verse says, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Then the chorus says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Amen. The greatest thing we can learn, depend on him, depend on his word. But then the third thing we see in this passage is when you're hurting, he gives strength. Verses 53 through 56, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. You know, when we're hurting, God gives us strength. Here we see in this passage a lot of hurting people. But what did God do? The Lord came through there and he helped them. You know, there's hurting people all around us. There's people, as I mentioned before, they're carrying burdens that we'll never know of. You know, a lot of burdens out in this world. But I'm so thankful for Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I spent my first wedding anniversary in Fort Polk, Louisiana. I was miserable. It was called Zero Week. It was the week before basic training started. They marched us down to the PX. And they said, you can go in and buy something. Well, I went in. It was just a few days before our first wedding anniversary. And so I started looking through the anniversary cards. And, man, I couldn't find one sweet enough for Jan. I just couldn't find one good enough. Well, they blew the whistle. Somebody hollered. I said, hey, Gregory said, they're leaving to go back to the barracks. I said, forget it. I'm going to buy a card for my wife. Well, I shouldn't have had that attitude. I got back. They greeted me in a friendly way. And they gave me a detail after that. They didn't greet me friendly, believe me. Well, they gave me a detail. I had to wash and wax the whole barracks floor. I had to move all the furniture, wash and wax everything. Well, thankfully, it wasn't in the old days where you had to do it with a toothbrush. I had a big old buffer. Well, I used to run a big buffer when I worked on a different place. And so I went ahead and plugged it up and walked over to it, and it wouldn't work. So I walked back and plugged it in, and when I did, that thing took off. Man, next thing I knew, it had knocked a big old hole in the side of the barracks in the wall. I moved a locker there. But well, saying that, after that I went to Texas, AIT. And I remember I was missing my wife. I was missing her badly. And I remember getting on a bus to go into Fort down to El Paso, Texas. And I get on that bus, and there was a placard on the side of the bus. And it said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." I wasn't saved, but I knew I didn't have that rest that I needed. I knew there was something missing, and I never could get away from that verse. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You know, the Lord said that to us. He said that to people who were hurting. He said that to people who had problems. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And you know, there's a lot of hurting people out there that we need to reach out to. We have a wonderful Savior who cares. He cares for us. He cares for them. When people were hungry, he gave them to eat. Jesus satisfies. When his disciples were in a storm, Jesus was present. And Jesus is present and a help in time of troubles when we have it. And when people hurt, Jesus cares. In 1901, Frank Graff, or Groff, however you pronounce it, had severe testing and doubt. He read 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Then he wrote this song, "Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." He satisfies, he's our help, and he cares. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, again, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that you've told us, "Come to me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You told us to cast our care upon you, for you care for us. And Lord, no matter what the need is, Christ is sufficient, and he can always satisfy. We pray, Lord, for those that are hurting. We know, Lord, that there are people in our congregation tonight that are sick, they're at home. We just pray, God, that you'd be with them, you'd comfort them, and Lord, you'd help them deal with, as they deal with the pain that they're going through. And Lord, others that have sorrows. And it's sad, Lord, so many people are carrying burdens that we don't know about. But Lord, you do know, and you care. And we thank you for that. We just pray, God, that you meet the need in every heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have our prayer time.